Listen to the sound of men shaving their balls before the age of Manscaped. Yeah! Those screams are a thing of the past thanks to Manscaped. No more cuts and nicks with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, featuring advanced skin-safe technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer, more satisfying shave. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They even included pictures so I could see the smoothness for myself. They aren't kidding. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. 20% off, free shipping to manscaped.com. Use the code VSIN. Your partner and your balls will thank you. Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Studies show that 70% of guys who experience erectile dysfunction don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED from the comfort and privacy of your own home. You can handle everything online. Getting started simple. Go to GetRoman.com/bets and complete that online visit. Now, if your doctor decides that treatment would be appropriate, they can prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Go talk to the doctor. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get checked out. And with Roman, it's easy to connect with a doctor. Go to Roman.com/bets, B-E-T-S, to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/bets. One more time, GetRoman.com/bets.
It's time to follow the money with Mitch Moss and Paulie Howard, only on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, Sirius XM Channel 204.
All right, Matt Eumanns here with football genius, writer, raconteur Michael Lombardi.
Raconteur, yeah.
You got a lot of stories about some of the legends of the NFL.
Yeah, I've been fortunate. I've been really lucky to be around some of the great people. Learn a lot. Learn an awful lot. Keep learning. That's the best part.
Paul Stone was once a sports writer in the state of Texas. Now he's a college football handicapper, one of the best in the business, and he joins us now straight out of the heart of Texas. Paul, are you watching the British Open? I know you're a golf bettor as well.
I was watching it earlier, Matt, but I'm right now I don't have the TV on. I've got a bunch of computers and sheets of information, and I'm prepared to talk to two of the great names. And when you think football, you think Lombardi and Eumanns, and maybe not in that order necessarily. But
that's true.
It's great to be on with you guys, and great to be. I think this weekend, this Saturday, we'll be 5 weeks away from Florida and Miami, Florida. So getting real close to college football.
5 weeks away from that, Michael, and 50 days away from the first NFL.
Can't wait for that. Yeah, game. Paul, as you focus on this college football season, I know you're in the Big 12 conference. Talk to us a little bit about, I saw yesterday that they said Lincoln Riley said Jalen Hurd may or may not be the quarterback. Was he just hedging his bet, or where do you think he's headed there?
I think it's two words you're worried about today in college football that we really didn't even know, I think, Michael, 2 years ago, or didn't think much about, certainly not 2 years ago, transfer portal.
Yeah,
Jalen Hurts is clearly going to be the starting quarterback at the University of Oklahoma. You know as well as I do that, a football team's one play away from the backup quarterback becoming the starting quarterback, and he just didn't want those other guys to bail, is my opinion. I mean, you know, he wants Hurts to keep competing, but he wants those other guys to stay in the program and keep competing. But there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. There's not a whole lot of certainly, Spencer Rattler, for instance, he's a very talented true freshman that's there in Norman this year. But Jalen Hurts is the only guy who's really game ready, and he will be the starting quarterback for Oklahoma this year.
How's he going to change the Oklahoma offense, Paul? Because you talked about Spencer Rattler. He's, the number three quarterback recruit out of high school this year, a dual threat type of quarterback. I think maybe a little bit more like Baker Mayfield or Kyler Murray. Jalen Hurts is a little bit different. He's not really a precision downfield passer. Do you think Lincoln Riley is going to change that offense a little bit to tailor to his skills?
I think he has to. I mean, you kind of alluded to it. You know, Jalen Hurts improved his passing skills, I think, in the mid-range passing game, but he still is not a big-time downfield thrower. So when you're coming off back-to-back Heisman Trophy winners and guys who had the skill set like Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray, I think you have to adjust a little bit. Plus, not only a new quarterback, although he's had great success, obviously, at Alabama, now he's in a new system. Although Oklahoma's a great program, he doesn't have all those Alabama Crimson Tide players surrounding him. So he doesn't have, in my mind, as crazy as it sounds, quite as much help. Plus, he's got four new offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. The only offensive lineman returning for Oklahoma, sophomore center Creed Humphrey. And that offensive line, you know, for handicappers out there, I think that's the thing in college football that's most overlooked is how many people are coming back in the offensive line, how many starts are coming back in the offensive line, what kind of experience do the players who are coming into starting positions, have they played a little bit or not played at all? I think it's critical. And I don't think Oklahoma's going to match what they've done the last 4 years, which has averaged 43.5 points or more in each of the last 4 years. I think they're going to be hard-pressed to hit 40 this year.
You talk about a starting offensive lineman. I mean, Texas has lost three starting offensive linemen. I mean, where do you see them in this Big 12 conversation?
You know, Michael, Texas is probably, in my mind, and it can change, it's fluid. You've got to be able to adjust your opinions of teams once they start playing games, obviously. But they're probably my most overrated team, along with Florida, as far as Power 5 teams entering the year. This is a team, not only on the offensive line have they lost three starters, but I think more critically even defensively. I mean, they lose their top three tacklers. They only return three of their top 10 tacklers. Among those top tacklers, two linebackers who were really big-time players for them, Gary Johnson and Anthony Wheeler. They lose up front the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, Charles Omenihu. They lose their top two cornerbacks, including Chris Boyd, who was a late-round NFL draft pick. So they've got a lot of people to replace on defense. And then offensively, you mentioned the offensive line. That's been an issue at Texas over the last decade, really, to get down to it. And then one thing that really hurts them as well was the what I believe was an ill-fated decision by little Jordan Humphrey to declare early for the NFL draft. If they had him coming back, and Colin Johnson and some of the younger guys, including true freshman Jordan Whittington, who's a guy to watch for Texas, you know, I think they would have more guys on offense who could get the ball down the field, and Texas clearly needs to get some more explosive plays. And, you know, I think they have some challenges, and that's certainly one of my regular season win totals, playing Texas under that win total.
Paul Stone is a Texas graduate, so he's fading his own school there, but he does that often.
Yeah,
because he sees the flaws within the program. He's not just a fan, Mike.
That's right. Yeah. He is not an emotional bettor.
Right.
Please don't be an emotional bettor. You know, you can't be an emotional in anything. Paul, what team in the Big 12 do you see? Am I wrong to think that Kansas State can rebound and be? I know they're going. TCU can rebound after all the injuries they've had last year and kind of challenge some of the Oklahoma or Texas for the title.
You know, it's hard to bet against Gary Patterson, because Gary Patterson does more with less. You know, some coaches in college football, without mentioning names, do less with more, maybe. But Patterson's a guy who recruits quarterbacks and running backs and turns them into, puts weight on and gets them in the weight room and turns them into defensive ends and linebackers and that type of thing. So you can't really look at his recruiting classes and know exactly what he's going to come up with. But I still think TCU's got some issues. They only averaged 21 points a game last year. They only return on defense one of their top eight tacklers. And you did mention, though, they had tons of injuries last year. They've got big-time questions at quarterback. You know, Alex Delton's a great athlete, the Kansas State transfer, but he's not a very polished passer. I have a number of contenders there. I think they've legitimately got six guys competing for that job going into summer workouts. So I'm not really too bullish on TCU this year. But to be honest, I think the way the conference shapes up, clearly Oklahoma's by themselves. Then Texas is a clear-cut number two. I think West Virginia is a clear-cut number nine. Kansas a clear-cut number 10.
Mm-hmm.
Those 3-8 teams, they could come out of the deck, any number of ways. I could see that's really going to be something to watch there, because I think those teams are all quite equal in talent and possibilities.
If you look at the Westgate odds to win the Big 12, we have it up on the screen here. Oklahoma -140, the favorite. Texas 3-1. Iowa State 8-1. Oklahoma State and TCU at 12-1. Baylor at 16. Texas Tech 20. West Virginia 30. K-State 60. And Kansas 300-1 with Les Miles. Now, Paul, you might disagree with me on this, but I have high hopes for Texas Tech here. I love the coaching change to Matt Wells. You have a quarterback. You have an experienced quarterback. He's a sophomore, but he played last season. He's back. I think Texas Tech's got some playmakers on that offense, and I think Wells is a much more well-rounded head coach than Cliff Kingsbury was. I like Texas Tech as a team that could move up maybe to that third spot in the Big 12, even though Iowa State right now looks like the team in that third spot. Could K-State or Texas Tech make a move? I like the coaching change at Kansas State as well.
Yeah, I think both those teams, and TCU included, again, that 3-8 is really really jumbled. But, you know, Matt Wells comes over from Utah State, and you mentioned Alan Bowman, the true sophomore quarterback. Anytime you have a quarterback returning that can play, that's a big plus. With him, you know, Matt Wells brings a lot of his previous staff members, the most of which probably is offensive coordinator David Yost, who's been at Missouri and was a wide receivers coach up at Washington State with Mike Leach. He's kind of an innovator there. Texas Tech, definitely interested, an interesting type team. Kansas State, you know, they've got some, you know, I heard somebody about 2 weeks ago maybe say they couldn't believe that some people were picking West Virginia below Kansas State in the Big 12. And I'm not saying West Virginia might not ultimately finish ahead of Kansas State, but certainly going into the year, if you don't have Kansas State power rated ahead of West Virginia, you need to redo your power ratings, in my opinion. Uh-huh. You know, they got a quarterback coming back, Skylar Thompson. They've got some defensive people coming back. I like their mesh. They did lose, I think, Isaiah Zuber, one of their playmakers. He's in the transfer portal. I think he's one of those guys who hadn't decided where he's going to end up yet. That certainly doesn't help. Right. But I do. They're a curious team, along with all those, you know, aforementioned six teams. You know, the 3rd through 8th is going to be interesting, and certainly Tech and Kansas State are going to be players for those the upper echelon of that grouping.
Yeah, we didn't talk about my Baylor Bears. My son, for all full disclosure, used to work at Baylor. Now he doesn't anymore. But I followed this Baylor program closely, and you know they've not been able to stop anybody on defense. But they return 8 starters back on defense. 7 starters back. They've got 8 on offense. And I think Charlie Brewer has taken a huge step. I think he's improved his arm strength. He's got feet. He's quick. And this Baylor team, to me, if they play any defense at all, Paul, they could be a sleeper. They really could. They played so well against Vanderbilt, which was a good Vanderbilt team in that bowl game.
Yeah, Baylor's a team, you know, like you said, you kind of took all the words out of my mouth and just did a great synopsis of Baylor. You know, they got to play better defense. I think they've got better numbers now on the offensive line than they've had historically the last few years. They have given up the first 2 years under Matt Rhule. They gave up 38 sacks in 2017, 39 sacks last year. So they really have not – of course, they throw the ball a lot, and they've been playing from behind, so that accounts for a lot of that. But hearing Coach Rhule talk at Media Days a couple of days ago, he feels a lot better about his offensive line. And, again, Charlie Brewer, a guy playing a true junior, playing in his 3rd season. He's got some moxie. He's got Denzel Mims, a speedster who has caught a lot of footballs there at Baylor. And they're an interesting team, too. And they've got a guy, James Lockhart, who will be a defensive end. He's a senior. He's been at a number of programs, including Texas A&M, but he was a big-time recruit a few years ago. And this is his swan song, and he's a guy who's got some measurables, and they're hoping that he can give them some penetration on that defense and maybe help them. The last couple of years, they've given up 36 and 32 points a game, and they need to get a little bit better than that. And Baylor's another, you know, very interesting team to keep an eye on.
Follow him on Twitter at Paul Stone Sports, college football handicapper out of Texas. Paul, will wrap up the Big 12 discussion with any win totals or early season games, week one games or games of the year that you might recommend as far as the Big 12.
Well, looking at the win totals, you know, I talked about Texas. I don't know what their number is right now, but it was a week ago, it was 9.5 shaded to the under -145, and I can certainly you know, recommend taking the under on Texas. I think they're going to lose at home to LSU, lose to Oklahoma, and, you know, lose another game in there, which would obviously put them at 9 wins or fewer. And so I like Texas to go under. Another bet would be, you know, probably in that conference, you might look at Kansas under. Their total is 3, shaded to the under at minus 140. You know, they're only 3-42 in Big 12 play the last 5 years. They're going to get off to a 2-0 start with wins over Indiana State and Coastal Carolina. But, you know, I think to think Kansas is going to win 4 games, you know how many times they've won 4 games the last 9 years? 0.
Yeah.
So if they don't win 4 games, you're going to get a push at worst. On games of the year, just off the top of my head, if you can still find Oklahoma -3 over Texas in that Red River Shootout there in Dallas, you know, I would recommend taking the Sooners there. As far as what's still on the board, you know, that's one that really jumps to mind, Oklahoma -3 over Texas.
All right, Paul, let's talk about Clemson and Alabama quickly, because Michael and I were talking about this early in the show. We both like Clemson a little better than Bama. I think you might have Bama rated a little bit higher. Break down those two teams if you can, and what do you think of Georgia kind of sitting there in the third spot?
Well, I think, first of all, Alabama and Clemson are certainly in a class of their own. You know, there's a pretty significant drop-off from those two teams to Georgia, which I think is pretty much a clear consensus number 3 starting the season. You know, I had on my power ratings that I turned into you earlier in the year, I had Clemson number 1 and Alabama number 2 for a long time, and then right before I turned them into you, I went Alabama. So I'm kind of, you know, either way, I could see it kind of 1A and 1B. Uh-huh. Both these teams have great offenses. I mean, these teams have the ability to average over 50 points a game this year, and both might do it. I certainly think probably one will do it. Obviously have great quarterback play, great skill play. They're just really, really both revved up offensively. I think the one thing to watch, even though Dabo Swinney has been, you know, just brilliant there at Clemson, is the defense at Clemson. They've obviously recruited at an exceptionally high level, probably better than anybody or close to better than anybody the last 3 or 4 years. So the guys that they have are certainly extremely talented. They're just inexperienced. So they've got a lot of new faces on defense, and that's kind of what caused me to switch my rating of Alabama and Clemson. They're rating Alabama number 1 to start the season. But Clemson has a little more defensive question marks than Alabama. But, you know, again, we're going to start getting data points once these games are being played. And, again, from a handicapping standpoint, my opinions can change very quickly, because I'm not one to put my feet in the ground and just say, hey, this is what I think, so I'm going to stick with it. As I start seeing action and plays and games and results, my opinions can change very quickly.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt. But the one thing I learned from this conversation today, Paul, which has been outstanding, is you like LSU to beat Texas even on the road, right?
You know, I do, and that's a little bit, you know, we all know how well Tom Herman teams have performed as an underdog. I just think for the second game of the year, you know, they would have played Texas, or would have played Louisiana Tech at home the game before, but with so many new players, you know, new faces and all that, against an LSU team that really has veterans at just about every position. And the ones that they don't, you know, they've got guys like, you know, Daryl Stingley, a true freshman at cornerback, who some people are already saying might be the best defensive back in the country by the end of the year. This guy is just receiving rave reviews. They have a running back who's a big-time, Emery, who's a big-time true freshman recruit that's maybe going to fill a void there at tailback. So they really don't have any big-time question marks. They've got a quarterback, Joe Burrow, who's coming back for his second year. I just think LSU has a more veteran team, and Texas has a lot of question marks. It is going to be at night. It is going to be a raucous atmosphere, and there will be a home field advantage. But I just think LSU has a more veteran team, so I'm certainly leaning that way right now.
Certainly good points. I do think there are two question marks, Michael, with LSU. One is Joe Burrow, the quarterback, and the other is Ed Orgeron.
I would reverse those.
You know, I would reverse those. But you,
you
know,
think Orgeron's a bigger question mark?
Well, I mean, look, you got to be able to make some decisions. You're playing chess. So you play against the good coaches in this league.
Uh-huh.
You know, you got to be able to make adjustments, and you got to be able to play chess. And, you know, if it all goes to plan, that's great. You know, but if it doesn't and you get into the heat of the battle and you got to start thinking and you got to start making decisions that adjust the game plan, then you're going to be in a problem. I mean, he thinks he's going to go into the spread offense and everything's going to go to plan. I mean, you know, there's going to be some things that happen to you. And I think that he's going to have to make those decisions. And those decisions typically haven't worked in his favor.
Pick up the VSiN College Football Betting Guide. It's going to be out next week. Michael Lombardi's got a column in there. We were talking about your column idea before the show. It's really good. It's worth going to be worth the read. Pick that up. And Paul Stone, you have a column on play on and play against teams in college football. Give us one of your play-on teams before we take a break here.
You know, one of my play-on teams would be Michigan State. I know that's a team that a lot of people are going to be looking at this year, but mm-hmm. if I've got time to just do a little bit of support of that, you know, you look at a team last year that entered the year ranked number 11 in the nation, Brian Lewerke off a 2017 campaign. That I thought kind of started him off in the season last year as one of the better quarterbacks in the country. He obviously slumped tremendously, threw more interceptions than touchdowns, had a shoulder injury around mid-year, just struggled the whole year. They lost in a very ugly bowl game, 7-6 to Oregon in the Red Box Bowl.
Yep.
But one thing to keep in mind, Mark D'Antonio, when his teams at Michigan State, and this goes, I think he's been there about 12 or 13 years, when his teams have won 7 games or fewer in a season, which is the case last year, they went 7-6, it has rebounded to win an average of 10.8 games a year the following year. So they usually rebound nicely. They've got a lot of defensive pieces back. I like Michigan State as a play-on team in 2019.
I agree with that opinion.
Me
as
too.
Well.
I'm with you on that. Yeah. All the starters back on defense mm-hmm. are good.
I just did the Big Ten preview for the VSiN betting guide, and I was really high on Michigan State. College football handicapper Paul Stone out of Texas at Paul Stone Sports. Paul, we'll let you go. Go watch some golf, man.
Thanks, Paul.
Good deal. Good luck to you guys this weekend. Thanks for having me on. Everybody have a great football season.
Thank you.
All right. Paul is a golf bettor, Michael. When we come back, we're going to update the British Open.
Great.
Attention all homeowners in jeopardy of foreclosure. If you owe more on your home than it's actually worth, have missed one or more mortgage payments, have been denied a loan modification, or are facing foreclosure for any reason, you must listen to this message. A toll-free mortgage relief hotline's been established for anyone having their home lost in foreclosure. Just call 888-497-1876. And see if your home qualifies. We can help stop your home from going into foreclosure or even get your home out of foreclosure. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have faced foreclosure in the past year alone. This foreclosure defense group has helped thousands of people just like you fight the foreclosure process so they can stay in their homes. But you must call 888-497-1876 now to qualify. The call and information are absolutely free and the help is real. Don't lose your home. Call the Mortgage Relief Hotline now at 888-497-1876. That's 888-497-1876. 888-497-1876.